Normally, when we read this passage in Ephesians chapter 6, this is part of the armor or the uniform that we're to wear in fighting the battles that God has for us day by day in our lives, not only in a literal matter, but in a spiritual matter that's involved with this. We're about, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all, not some, not part, but to be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, normally, we try to interpret or look at the Bible from man's viewpoint when we need to realize this is not man's word, it's God's word. And God's word is alive and eternal. And if you want a good commentary on God's word, you need to just go to the Bible. Normally, they want to associate the armor that was mentioned in Ephesians with the Roman soldier, Roman armor that is there. And there's some things, and it kind of gives us a visual picture of it, but not an accurate one. Usually when we try to illustrate something and compare it with something, it's not going to be accurate, and yet God has a way of showing us that is accurate. Take, for instance, the sword or the shield that is in this armor. It's a shield that you hold in your hand and you hold in front of you if you see an arrow coming towards you. Now, as you see the arrow coming, and the ones in front of you, what about the one behind you? Are you going to be able to turn around and try to put the shield to stop that arrow while others are coming from all different directions? You might have some protection, but not enough. The devil is not going to say, here I am, look at me, and I'm going to throw an arrow at you. He's going to try to come from behind or a way that you don't even know is there. The world's going to do the same thing. And your flesh will do the same thing. So what kind of shield is God really talking about in the matter of being able to protect us from all, not just the ones in front, but from all of the arrows that come toward us or all the dangers that we might face in facing the enemy that is there? Well, we find the answer to that in Psalms chapter 5, verse 12. Psalms chapter 5 and verse 12. Psalms chapter 5 and verse 12. And here, I want you to notice a few words that's in this passage. First of all, it says, for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor, will thou compass him as with a shield. Will thou compass him with the shield? It's talking about the shield of faith that's not just something you hold up in front of you. It is all around you. It's like being in a protective bubble that is there. And so the shield of faith covers your entire life, front, back, sideways, and everywhere else. It's not one that you just hold in front of you. It compasses you. It's all around you. And when you begin to see that, you begin to see and realize God's total protection for each one of us. I don't have to be afraid. I am a child of the Almighty. I'm a child of God. And there's nothing impossible with God. He not only can do the impossible, but he can take care of his children like no one else can. Man, what assurance and a blessing we have concerning the matter of the shield. Well, now, when I think about a shield that way, how do you get in it or how do you hold it up? Now, in that light, the other shield we talked about, you got straps on it, could hold it up in front, but how would you hold this up? Well, in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, the answer is very, very simple in that. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. You'll notice on the screen now of the scripture that is there. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The shield of faith is there when we are in the word of God. When you neglect to study God's word, you're letting down the shield. But when you're in God's word, Faith, that shield of faith, comes from hearing the Word of God, from being in the Word of God, from studying the Word of God. One of the things that I've enjoyed in these last 12 years that I've been here especially, but after serving for 50 years as a pastor of a church, though I like to study and did study the Word of God, I learned to study it in sections. That is, that I would be studying it and might be 8 o'clock in the morning, and I might be studying it for 15 minutes and the telephone rings. Well, that's my break. I don't get frustrated that I was interrupted there. It's just like when I took courses in the university. I took course A on Monday, and then on Wednesday I picked it up again, and on Friday, depending on the size of the course. I might have a course on Tuesday and Thursday. And when I come back to it on the day after that, I was fresh and was able to be involved in the study. And God showed me, when your kids come in and disturb you while they were young and you're trying to study, that's that Tuesday between Monday and Wednesday. When someone calls, well, that helped me a great deal to keep from being frustrated in studying God's Word. But the problem was that it limited my time. I wanted to spend more time in the Word of God. But I need to make hospital calls. I need to visit people. I need to talk to people that had problems and deal with them. And all of these things occupied my time, which were good. But yet having the Word of God and being involved in the Word of God was limited. When God told me that I'm changing jobs, I thought he said I was retiring, but that's not in his vocabulary. Now making me an internet missionary. My time is free. I tell you, it's exciting to have 8 Bible classes a week, not only in teaching the Word of God during that time, but preparing in the Word of God. You talk about being saturated in the Word of God. You know what happened to my faith? Man, that shield got strong. And it's all around me. And I challenge you to get into the Word of God that you might have that shield that quenches all of the fiery darts, the shield of faith. Now, how do we hold this shield of faith? We hold it by the Word of God. But look at Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. And we find again a way that we can hold or have this shield of faith that is there. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 19 through 21, and that is prayer. The study of God's Word is critical in your life and overcoming that which would destroy you. Prayer is essential in your life. To have that shield of faith, you must have a good prayer life. That is greatly essential. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 19, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? A person was brought to Jesus to cast out the demon. I mean, to the disciples to cast out the demons, and they couldn't do it. Jesus came down and he cast him out. And the disciples wondered, why couldn't we do that? Now, notice his answer. Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. Now, he's talking to his disciples that believe he's the Son of God. But yet their belief is not as strong as it should be. One, because of their time in the Word of God. The other is because of prayer. He said now, and he said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now wait, that is some faith. How big is it? As a grain of mustard seed. Boy, what if that faith grows? You talk about power. We have that power in prayer. I don't have to be at the hospital to pray for one that is sick. I can pray right here. I don't have to be in California to pray for someone that is sick there. I can pray right here, and God answers that prayer in California or in Thailand or in Brazil or anywhere else in this world. You talk about power, and yet we ignore that and do not practice intercessory prayer and prayer for those that we need to. Now he goes on to say, howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. That shield that will protect you from all the fiery darts of the wicked is held in place by the word of God and by prayer. Now that shield is invisible. Man, I wish I could see it. You know, if I could see it, well, I know I've got a little bit, I can say, okay, here it is, and it's there. That shield is invisible. How can we know that the shield of faith is there in our lives? How do you know your shield is there? Well, to understand that, we're going to need to go to the scriptures and to see how we can tell whether or not the shield, that shield of faith, is really there. Let's look at it in James chapter 2 and verse 17. James chapter 2 and verse 17. In James chapter 2 and verse 17. Even so faith, it's talking about the shield of faith. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Now we're not talking about salvation. Now that's, salvation is by grace through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It has nothing to do with works. But for you to live day by day, you must keep his commandments. You must obey his commandments. You've got a job to do, and it's to be done by faith. And here he's saying, if you don't have any works, if you're not working in that faith, knowing what God can do, and you're not going to step out and do it. To give you an example of that, which I've already reported to you concerning this internet ministry. I knew to begin with, there's no way that I could handle this, financially or any other way. But it didn't make any difference. And it hasn't down through the years. I do not wonder, do I have enough money to do what needs to be done? I just simply do it because God said to do it. And because I've got faith that it's God's work, not mine, then he does it. And if I didn't really believe God would do it, see, I wouldn't even be, we wouldn't have anything right now. Same thing with this church. And a lot of times we get tied up in what we might can do and whether or not we can afford it when we need to depend upon God. And so it goes on to say in verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. How do I know I have that shield of faith about me? I know it because I serve God and step out and do what God wants me to do before I see the results of it. He doesn't have to show me his will. He doesn't have to show me what's going to be the end results. It's a matter he told me what to do, and I do it, regardless of what I might think might come out. But I think it, God's going to do it, so it's by faith, and that shield of faith is there. And so it's important. And the matter that you're in the Word of God, that you're involved in prayer, in order that you might have this shield of faith. This shield of faith that surrounds you from any direction that you might be attacked, whether by Satan or by the world or by your flesh, you will be protected and you have the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Man, what a blessing it is. It's not what you can do of your own. It's what you do because of what you believe, and you're doing it in the power of God. As we read in our text, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all, not some, all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, what are some of the things we can do? Now, I want to just hit on a few things. Now, the shield will quench all the darts of fear. This is one of the biggest problems we face. Now, a good example of this is given in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, where that Jesus said, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Now, I tried to find a picture that would do this or that would illustrate this verse. Let's look at it now. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I tried to find a picture of hungry wolves that's really wanting to get after a sheep. And you got one sheep by itself in the midst of that. I couldn't find one, but I found this picture. Now that cat had to have faith. Send you forth as a cat in the midst of some dogs that would just like to tear that cat apart. That's what God is doing with us to show that we have faith in God. We don't have to be afraid of anybody or anything. We need to serve God regardless of what's going on about us. Regardless of what the laws might say, regardless of what they try to tell us that we can or cannot do, we're going to do what God says at any cost, at any price. And we can feel or have assurance because we have that shield of faith that quenches or stops the fiery darts of fear of what someone might do to me or do to you. Man, what a shield it is. What victory we can have. Now, the shield would quench all the fiery darts of fear and worry that we might be involved in some things that we think, well, is God really with me or will he be with me in this? Well, God will be with you. In Isaiah 43, verse 1 and 2, Isaiah 43, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. I have redeemed thee. Did you get that? When I have the shield of faith, that means I believe God. And he said, I don't have to be afraid because I have been redeemed by God. I have been bought by God. I belong to God, not to Satan, not to the world, or anything else. And you don't mess with God's children. Not only that, he said, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. It's a personal relationship, and he keeps it personal. I'm not called by a number. He knows my name. And he knows your name if you're his child. And my name, not a number, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I do not have to be afraid of anything, anybody, or anywhere. I belong to God. But now, wait a minute. He goes a little bit further. He says, when thou passest through the waters, I, God, will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. What are you afraid of? He's going to be right there by your side. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. As much as I love our mission program, I think our cooperative program and our missionaries around the world is the best program of any religious organization in the world. Down through the years, God gave us that wisdom of where that our churches would, on their own accord, voluntarily, would give whatever they wanted to give to a central fund, which we call the cooperative program. Out of that central fund, they would pay the salaries for our missionaries, foreign and home. They would help to provide for schools and seminaries, for children's homes, for all of the ministries that we're involved in. And that comes out of the cooperative program. Now, in all of these ministries, you're going to have battles. The government's going to try to take over. People are going to try to destroy it, especially with our missionaries. Sadly to say, today, we've got a group of leaders in our cooperative program that's afraid of the world. Before, we knew where our missionaries were. We knew what country they were in. We knew what city they were in. And we prayed for them in that location, depending on God to take care of them. And he did. Now, today, our leaders are afraid that our missionaries might be harmed. You cannot know where they're at. You will not know what country they're in, what city they're in, or even what they're doing. Even those missionaries to their closest family will not share that. And the reason is because they might be in trouble. We do not have any business being afraid of any nation, any people, anywhere. And if it takes a life of an individual, let me give you some good news. Those who are serving as missionaries are willing to put their life on the line. They're willing to go and die in any country. You see, they have the shield of faith. And we need to come back and show the world we're not afraid of any nation. My God is greater than any nation. My God is greater than any nation. Listen, that shield of faith quenched all the fiery darts. And we do not need to be afraid and proclaim God's word. Now, the shield of faith quenched the darts of sickness. Not only do we have a problem with fear, now there are many other things involved in it. We're just a few that the Holy Spirit has laid on my heart. And the matter of sickness, that's a great fear among many people. Some people are always asking me as I get into this golden age, you know, one of the things about it, well, how are you feeling? How are you doing? Because they know at this age that you're subject to a lot of sickness. God is in the healing business. And whatever danger we might face, He will protect us and take care of us. James 5, verse 15. And the prayer of faith, there's that shield of faith, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he had committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. I can get on to the next slide there. Yeah. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Again, the power of prayer. Are we dependent on the power of prayer or are we dependent on our ability? Now, I want to tell you something as a pastor. And now, doctors that are here, I know you're going to be upset with me a little bit about this, and I think we need to have common sense enough to get out of the rain and where we need to take care of ourselves physically. But sometimes we, as God's people, as His servants, are put in harm's way, and we pull up that shield of faith to protect Him. You, when you come to church, and during the time we've got an epidemic going on, whether it be a flu or viruses or whatever else, you might shake hands with one or two people. Sometimes you'll get a fist. Sometimes you'll get an elbow. As a pastor for 50 years, I've always had my hand out. I would shake the hand of every individual that came that was sitting there in the pew sniffing and coughing and sneezing. And some of them, before I even got to them, would rub their hand across their nose, wipe their nose with their finger, just when you get there. Never quench once. I don't say, well, wait a minute. Now, some individuals will know they've got a fever or know they've got been sick and so on, and they'll say, no, don't shake hands. Well, I don't shake hands with them, but I don't worry about the others. Now there's times when I get sick, but not as often as I should get sick. I ought to be sick every day of my life. Exposed to all the people with all that they've got and all that's going on within the churches. But I got news for you. I have the shield of faith. And God has taken care of them. We went to Africa, back in the bush area. We met with the doctors as to what would be prepared to take the shots and have the preparation for it. One of the instructions was, wear gloves. Whenever you're dealing with people, I took about eight nurses in there. And we would go through the villages and deal with the people. And then we would set up a triage at the end of the day. And the people would come out and we would talk to them and see what their problem was. And some would have worms. Some of them you'd see sores just infested on their bodies. And we'd put them to a nurse. And the nurse would take care of that, cleanse it out. We went to a village. And as we went to this village, there was a real small one-room hut made out of grass. No doors, no windows. An old man was sitting outside of that little hut on a stool. The pastor, or the one who was leading us there, knew about this man, said, "He's dying. We don't know what he's got, whether it's contagious or not. No one gets near him, and he won't talk to anyone." One of my nurses felt led of the Lord. She didn't have time to put her gloves on. She went over and knelt on her knee, and then both knees, before this man. And she reached out and touched him and began to love him. And he began to talk to her. He received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And before the sun set that day, he went home to be with the Lord. Jesus touched the leper. When are we going to stand in the power of God with the shield of faith and depend upon God to take care of us? Now, we don't need to be careless about it. I understand that. But there's times when we must serve without fear and do what God would have us to do. The world needs to see that we have a God that is more powerful than anything in this world, whether it be armies or governments or whether it be disease or whatever else it might be. We are to have the shield of faith. Man, the shield of faith is not just for you alone. A lot of people don't have it. Now, you're to get that shield of faith. You develop that shield of faith through the Word of God and through prayer. But you can extend this shield of faith to others, to your friends, and to your families. Let me give you a good example of that in Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. Jesus goes into Capernaum into a house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Here he is serving. People are being healed. Now, we find four men have a friend. And they believe if they could get this friend to Jesus, he could be healed. He cannot walk. They have to carry him on a cot from his house, wherever it might be, or another village, and they're going to take him to Jesus. When they get there, they cannot get into the house. They're not able to get there. Now, they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Now, these are friends. When they get there with their friend, there's no way they can get in to present him to Jesus for what is there. So what do? We find that they go on top of the house. It's a flat roof. And they begin to tear it up. Jesus is teaching on the inside. And when they could not come nigh unto him for press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Now, get the picture. Here Jesus is teaching. They begin to tear the roof up. You got some Sadducee there, or Pharisee, saying, "What are they doing disturbing this service? They're making a mess on this, and how can Jesus teach with that?" Now, they let the sick person down. They had to cooperate with one another. There's much involved in that, but let me just share this with you quickly. Now, what we would think would happen would be, as they let this man down, the man would say, "Lord, would you help me? Would you heal me?" He doesn't say one word. We don't know even if he believes or not. He's helpless. He cannot. He might have told the friends, "You don't need to take me there. I don't want to go." But he didn't have a choice. They picked him up. They took him and brought him to Jesus. They let him down in front. The man never did. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." When he saw their faith, These men extended their faith around one another and around this one that was sick of the palsy. Jesus did not talk to the man at first. He looked up and saw the faith of them. It was not concerning the faith of the man. The man was healed because of the faith of the four men that brought him. That's the faith you need to have. That's the shield of faith that we can have and that we need to exercise on those who do not want to come to God or those who don't want to have anything to do with it. You can have the victory even with them. This also is talking about our family and where we can stand that shield of faith around our family. There's many examples in the Bible. A woman that came and her daughter was sick. And Jesus wasn't going to do anything. And she, as she talked with him and approached him as Lord, he said, I've never seen such faith. And because of your faith, your daughter's healed. How many are healed because of your faith? How strong is your shield of faith? Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Now notice this. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. We're to take the shield of faith. Do you or will you put on that shield of faith? It's your choice. It's your decision. You have the Word of God to study and to hold that faith and develop strong. You're born again by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and you can come before the throne of grace with all the power of heaven and earth in the name of Jesus. When you come with that shield of faith, it's your decision. But do you have the shield of faith? Have you been saved, been born again by the shed blood of Jesus Christ? Only a child of God can have this shield of faith. So in Romans 10, verse 8, look at it carefully now. Romans 10 and verse 8. But what saith it? Talking about salvation. That's the first step toward the shield of faith. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith. It doesn't need to be proved to you. You just simply need to believe it. God said it, that settles it. And brother, you better believe it. And oh, the victory you have. The word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth, with the heart, man believeth in righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Do you have the shield of faith? Tonight you can. Are you using that shield of faith? It might be tonight you need to commit yourself to a Bible study. We have many classes for all ages here in this church of getting into the Word of God. There are other Bible classes besides that that are available to study and to know God's Word and develop that faith. Prayer. We have prayer meetings. We're not having one this Wednesday, sorry to say, but we will have one Thursday. We have a prayer meeting every Thursday in this auditorium. We normally sit right along over in here. And we take requests for prayer, and we pray especially for this church. And that God would move in a mighty way. We're extending that shield of faith on this. Won't you join us? Won't you be with us? On Tuesday morning, every Tuesday morning at 6 o'clock, at JD's restaurant, we meet there, a group of men, and we pray. We take our prayer list that we have for the church, and we go over those names, and we take them to the Lord in prayer. You can be involved in that. It's your choice. You can develop that shield of faith that will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. But it's your decision. Will you make that decision for Christ? We're going to have an invitation number if y'all will come and prepare for that. And as we